The Easter season is the part of the church year when more than ever we focus on the resurrection of Christ. Right in the face of the violence of the world and the ongoing challenges of this year in particular, and through concerns carried so close to home, right in the midst of all of this, we still celebrate Easter when Christ emerged from the tomb and conquered death. On Easter morning, as the sun rose over the trees, we proclaimed Christ is risen indeed. And as the baptismal waters opened and closed and opened again over a child of God, we said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, died, and buried, and on the third day rose again. One of my favorite moments from Easter morning, and there were many, was from the end of the sunrise service. It was still half light when we finished, coming to the climactic moment when we say Christ is risen. The service had been simple and quiet leading up to that moment. The silhouettes who came down the hill to the tree gathered mostly in reverent silence. The music in the service was quiet and reverent. Reflective. Everyone sat quietly while I spoke a few minutes about Easter morning and the hope of new life. We were all standing as I moved beside the end of the front row and at the right time said the prompt, Christ is risen. And I admit I was startled at the enthusiasm of the reply. I think everyone who came to say those words and had been waiting like winter for the spring of their faith to begin again. Christ is risen, I said, and the response shook the ground. Christ is risen indeed. I was particularly moved by the voice right next to me. I admit I still don't know who it was. A young girl, perhaps a teenager or a college student, judging by the voice. I was startled. I was touched by the conviction in her voice. This was not sleepy repetition of a line in a worship guide. Hers was proclamation. Christ is risen indeed, she said. And she believed it. I couldn't make out a face, but I haven't yet forgotten the voice. We proclaimed with confidence. We celebrated with joy. Now, of course, that was 2 whole weeks ago, and a lot of life can happen in 2 weeks. So what about now? We may ask, what about now? What of resurrection? What of our life and our life together and the echoes of Easter morning? The gospel reading for today opens with, as they were talking about these things, as they, meaning the disciples of Jesus, were talking about rumors of resurrection appearances and the evidence of the empty tomb, as they were talking about these things, the story opens. Talking about things isn't the worst kind of thing, I suppose, but it just seems a lot less than singing about them or proclaiming them, talking about things. While they were talking about things, Jesus appeared among them and said, peace be with you, which apparently accomplished anything but peace among them. They were certainly not immediately glowing with joy of resurrection or singing the confidence of victory over death. The words in the gospel story used to describe them are startled, terrified, frightened, doubting. They looked like they'd just seen a ghost, and they thought they had. When someone thinks they've seen a ghost or a UFO, there always comes a reasonable explanation. But in the gospel, when you think you've seen a ghost, the explanation is even more unreasonable. Here is no ghost visiting from beyond the grave. This is Christ resurrected, having conquered the grave. "Why do you look like you've just seen a ghost?" "It's me," he said. "Look at my hands. Look at my feet." He showed them the hands they knew very well by this time. They'd seen those two hands plenty gesture while he taught. Those same hands had washed their feet, broken bread and fish to feed thousands. And those feet they followed through the towns of Galilee, the feet that mounted the colt as they entered Jerusalem. The hands and feet bore the wounds of nails. "It is I, myself," he assured them. As Jesus does here, it is important for us to proclaim the resurrection and to proclaim it as an interruption of God into the order of life and death. In the days following the crucifixion of Jesus, he appeared to many, and as he did, he was not a ghost, not a spirit, not a good idea, or a motivational memory. He was not a philosophy or a program or a wish. His feet, his hands, resurrection is this mystery. Christ has died. Christ is raised from the dead. Indeed. Christians proclaim the resurrection as the great hope of our faith. It's not just an expression of comfort as we look ahead to life after death. It is a full divine affirmation of hands and feet and words and all creation and our created bodies, the lives we share with one another. Not even the darkness of a tomb can change it. Christ came into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome him. If in Christ there is new creation, his body is the new beginning, and this is God's way of saying, "It is all good, this new creation." Even as creation bears the scars and wounds of human sin, and so very many failures and fractures and rejection of God and God's goodness, the world God created and the body Christ incarnated are beautiful in divine eyes. And so is your life. You are beautiful in God's eyes. And so is your life. If you don't feel that way at all some days, or some weeks, or ever, you are still so very beautiful. The darkness has come, but the darkness cannot overcome. You are a child of the light. And you are, because we proclaim the resurrection and we practice resurrection. In Portland, Oregon, a Franciscan brother works in a coffee shop where he encounters people every day from all walks of life, carrying all life's burdens etched in their furrowed foreheads every morning. One day, he says, "I had a customer comment on my tattoo. It's scrawled across the outside of my forearm in ornate script. It reads, 'Practice Resurrection.'" The customer, as he grabbed his coffee off the counter, said, "What's that about?" "It's the final line of a Wendell Berry poem," he replied. "Yeah, but what does it mean?" the customer asked. "I think we all have something to get up from," the brother replied. "I think we all have something to get up from. Practice resurrection." The line comes from Wendell Berry's poem, Mad Farmer's Liberation Manifesto, which is just wonderful. It's about living connected with the land and disconnected from all the other things that manipulate us and diminish abundant life. In the poem, Berry writes about doing what's right and what will last into the future, even a future we'll never see. plant sequoias. He talks about caring for people beyond politics, breaking free from addiction to consumption, and living into the mystery of this one life we have here with our brothers and sisters and all creation. He sums all this up, all the various facets of living, with the final line, practice resurrection. I suppose all that can sound a little ephemeral, a little intangible. Practicing resurrection for disciples of Jesus, for the church that lives on after them, thankfully begins with one of the most basic and one of the most human acts that we can imagine performing. Welcome a stranger and give them something to eat. Jesus is not a ghost, but he fully embodies the role of perfect stranger when he comes among the disciples that day. And he says to them, "Give me something to eat." After showing his hands and feet to still bewildered disciples on whom the light of understanding is still only half light, Jesus says, he asks, "You got anything to eat around here?" It's kind of a startling line. Resurrected people eat. I guess we didn't know that. Maybe he was hungry. Harrowing hell probably does make a fellow famished. Maybe he was looking for one more way to show them he was physical. Hands, feet, not enough? How about teeth, tongue, esophagus, stomach? But also Jesus was showing us right there as the light began to dawn on the era of Easter for all creation and for all time, that we practice resurrection by welcoming the stranger, by being open to God doing something new where we least expect it, looking for life to come from an empty tomb, like sequoia sprouts from 2 inches of humus, like new hope dawning from gnawing despair, like a person who gets out of bed and lives today and hasn't yet given up for one more day, or one who prays without giving up for that person in their life who seems so lost that they can never find life and light again. It starts here. It starts here. Give me something to eat. A community eating with Jesus and sharing table with one another as brothers and sisters and holy strangers is practicing resurrection. And we do so because everyone has something to get up from. And you are the community whose mission it is to lift one another up. In your prayers, and with your hands, and your feet, and your hearts, and your minds, to be a people who proclaim and practice resurrection hope, resurrection love, resurrection faith, resurrection life. Thanks be to God.